Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio. We're back in the studio today with Beth and Dennis and Janelle and Miss Tara. And we've just had such a good time in Matthew 16, reading about Jesus' love. Tara's grinning at me.
I'm just thinking about our conversation.
He gives us so many warnings, you know, but the good thing is there's always hope after the warning. And he is always asking us questions. And the one that always sticks to our mind is, who do you think Jesus is?
Mm. Yeah, so good. Wait, I have to bring this up. I won't make you do it, Janelle.
Kings.
But we were talking two shows ago about the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and Janelle says she can't stop singing this song that they're singing at school, and so we just had her sing it to us, and I was trying to get her to sing it on the radio, but I won't put you through that unless you wanted. And so we were all laughing, so I just had to share that just because it was funny. You guys miss out on the fun part in between the shows. We are at the crux of what happens once we have fallen. We have looked and talked about how Jesus wanted to know how the people were talking about him. Then he asked the disciples what they were saying about him. And then he comes in and he blesses Peter with telling him who he is and what he's going to do for the kingdom. And tells him, I've given you the keys. And then he gives them the warnings. And then, because he's on his way to Jerusalem, he's trying to prepare them, and Peter denies that, tries to stop that from happening, and Peter has to be reprimanded by Jesus, and he's called Satan. Yeah. And now that takes us into the next section where Jesus begins to talk to them about where a change of thinking needs to happen in their lives. It is a pattern of change. So in a matter of seconds, we see how Peter's thoughts went from, you are Christ, the Son of the living God, to, no, Lord, this can't happen to you. And often what happens when we have fallen is we don't know how to make that change occur. And I recently heard a sermon by Matt Chandler out of the Village Church, Dallas area, and he's doing a series on sanctification. And he and his wife just recently bought a house, and this, I think, is just such a profound illustration that he used. And when he would get to a certain light, he would have to go before left to get to their house. But now that they have moved, when he leaves the church, he has to, at this light, go right. And every day as he's pulling up to that light, he will tell himself, I no longer live to the left, nope. I live to the right. Mm. And he turns right. And he said, literally every single day I get to that light and I have to tell myself, I don't live to the left, I live to the right. Mm. One day he forgot to tell himself. He was so busy thinking about stuff going on at church, he went left, he went to his old house and pulled into the driveway. And as he's looking at the house, seeing it decorated not the way they had it done, he's, oh, sorry, not my house, I didn't forget anything, I just forgot I live to the right, not to the left. But over time, when he would get to the light, he no longer had to tell himself.
Mm. That's really good.
Isn't that profound?
Yes.
So what Jesus is doing at this point, the disciples, he's already given them the warnings in Matthew 10 and told them, you're to deny yourself, you're to pick up your cross, you're to follow me. This is your pattern. This is what you're going to live like. They've gotten to the light, and they want to go left, but they now must go right. And he's showing them, Peter, you have fallen. Satan, get behind me. You are a stumbling block. You are not thinking on the things of God. You're thinking on the things of men. But get this. You don't live to the left anymore. You live to the right. And this is what it looks like. And he's wanting them to get that down. So he tells his disciples, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever wants to save it, did I say that right? I'm doing it from memory. And whoever loses his life will find it. Mm-hmm. What good is if a man, if he profits the whole world, but loses his soul? And what good is that to have that exchange for the soul? For the Son of Man's coming, and he's coming in the Father's glory. Mm-hmm. And he's coming with the angels. And when he comes, he will give according to every man based on what he's done. Mm-hmm. And I tell you the truth, some while standing here today will see me coming in his kingdom. So he's wanting them to see you don't live to the left. You live to the right of Father's glory. and good choices in dying to self, following Jesus, picking up that cross daily. That's your life. It's to the right. It's not to the left. And so he's not beating the left. He's just showing them they need to get to the right. So let's look at that. He lays these things out, and we've talked about these last month, and obviously repetition is important. Preschoolers get repetition because they need it. Apparently with disciples, repetition is just as important. And so let's look at these of what the disciples' actions are that they need to do. I've said them several times, but I now want us to say them out loud. You guys began talking through them. What is he telling them the right looks like? Turning to the right.
Well, giving up earthly things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thinking of heaven. Okay. Taking up your own cross.
Okay.
I think the shift in perspective starts with not seeking after personal gain, being self-focused, whether it's, you know, thinking highly of yourself, thinking lowly of yourself. Just stop thinking of yourself and start being outward focused, focused on God's kingdom, God's glory, and then the people who need to be reached for his kingdom and his glory.
Yeah, because there's a difference in self-denial and deny self.
Yes.
Completely.
Self-denial, you're giving up like chocolate or whatever. I don't know. But denying self, you no longer matter.
And
Christ matters.
Right. And it's not unto martyrdom. That
right.
is not
right.
it.
Right.
It, it falls in the same category of, I can remember when we did a series and we were talking about God is Elkanah, which is the jealous one. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people struggled with that. And how can God be jealous? Jealousy is bad. And we were helping them to understand that it is unto righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's unto holiness that he is jealous for. Whereas our jealousy is unto selfishness, unto what's in it for me.
Right.
So
greed. Yeah.
God's jealousy is for building up and growth. Our jealousy is for tearing down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's the same thing here, and that dying to self is unto holiness, that I am making choices going to the right, choosing to die to self, as in like serving someone when maybe I don't feel like
right.
it. You know, because it's the right thing to do.
It's back to that intentionality. You know, you intentionally do something, not because you maybe want to or have to or whatever, but you choose intentionally, just like he chose the left or right when he had to intentionally think about it.
I think for me, picking the right versus the left, it comes from that overflow. I've got to be, if I'm not filled, I'm icky. Icky.
Yeah,
not we all.
And it's just, you know, it doesn't, we can try and try and try to do it on our own strength, but it's not going to work.
Right. And that goes back to what Janelle was sharing, and that Janelle was focusing in on the fact that he said, you have in your mind the things of man, not the things of God. It begins in the thought process. And in that thought process, following through with Romans 12, 1 and 2, it is the transforming by the renewing of the mind. Sometimes it will require us to say it every single time. But over time, if we keep laying in the word, eventually it will not be. It will not be. We will be able to say, you know what? I can go to the right and I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
an automatic. And that fits in. Sorry. That fits in within 2 Peter 1. Peter is talking to the people and he says that you have the power of the living God within you. And it's based on his integrity, his promises, and his word that you can walk knowing that you can live in his power and in his glory, having it revealed, that you do not have to walk in a way that is defeated in sin. And we need to hold to that promise. And so practicing putting the word into our lives in places that need to be transformed. We may have to do it often, but eventually over time, those choices will become an automatic.
Right.
There's of the
that's true.
Overflow of what's in the inflow.
Right.
Yeah. There's a song that's...
Are you going to sing?
No. This is the third time I've had a song. I had the Cupid Shuffle in my mind when you were doing Gotta Go to the Right or the Left. But no, the song... This song is empty me of me so I can be filled with you. And I mean that was our hall theme last year, and it's such a huge theme in my life, is taking out my selfishness, my selfish desires. I don't want to be me. I want to be Christ in me. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I want to not focus on what I want for myself, my own glory, my own gratification. I want to be focused on the things of God. I want mm-hmm. God to live through me, just use my body mm-hmm. as an instrument of his glory. Yep.
That's beautiful.
We are his vessel.
I love it. And so thinking through how those look. And so as we're going about the day, how are we challenged in those? Having my mind changed, taking up the
moment
cross.
By moment.
So mind is the thinking, the taking up is a physical hand, the denying of self was within the heart. Do you see how it's covering every mm-hmm. part of the body? Mm-hmm. And then the walking forward, it's the feet. Literally, it's the action. So it's the heart, the mind, the hand, the feet. All of it is being called into action.
Mm-hmm. It's always action.
It is. But it's not easy.
No.
Is it?
Nope. Even in simple things, like the way we interact with people, our conversation. You know, when I talk with people, generally I say things that are like, well, I don't say this directly, but it's like, well, I'm so cool because I have this perspective or I have this thought. I want them to think better of me. That's my purpose when I converse with people. That should not be our purpose. Our purpose is to build into them, invest in them, raise up God's glory in the way that we speak and encourage them to understand him better, encourage ourselves to understand him better in the way that we talk with one another. Mm.
Mm. You're right. And the sign of a good leader is that they release the whole last section of identity for kingdom building, to be a spiritual parent, is literally to come to the place where it's no longer my gifts being seen. It doesn't matter if it was my vision, my idea.
Mm. Yeah.
It is, I am unleashing another to use their gift, their ideas, so they can shine, so that the glory of the Lord can be revealed, so that they can bring it to somebody else, so that the glory of the Lord can be revealed. And so the sign of a solid leader is when the kingdom building is, I am unleashing others to shine, literally allowing them to reveal the kingdom reign within them. And that's when you know you're where you're at. And it's easy in a position of processing, serving people to say, okay, well, this is how it needs to be done, dot, 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 or this is the way we're going to do it, dot, 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 dot. And then everybody obeys and they do it and things go well. But if we come in and we say, this is what we want to see have done, and then you allow the people as a group then to invest in it, and you unleash them to do it, that's powerful. And that's effective because it's not one person affecting, it is every person then is effective in using what God has given them to do. And ultimately, a spiritual parent, that is what it is. And the struggle that Janelle, where did Janelle come from? I know who you are. I'm just not going to call you the right name, Janelle. The struggle that Janelle is talking about is, if every leader is honest, that is a struggle that happens every single moment when we are serving because of that tug of me wanting to be seen.
Absolutely.
And having to release it to allow another to be lifted up, not myself. And when we do that, we're allowing the glory of the Lord to be revealed in other people. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
There's a book that our church is reading. Well, some of them are reading. It's called The Disciple Shift. And it's exactly that. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a very good book. That's awesome. So as we're thinking through these items of take up your cross, well, have your mind on the things of God, take up your cross, deny self, pursue Jesus, follow Jesus, and lose your life to save it, which one is the hardest for you to deal with?
I'm writing them down. I'm thinking, what was the middle one?
having the mind of Christ.
Okay.
Having the mind on things of God, denying self, taking up cross, follow Jesus, and losing your life.
Yes.
Yes. They overlap so much.
They do overlap. Yes. But I have found that sometimes, like, denying I can have myself, my mind can be on the things of God, and I'm in pursuit of him, and I'm finding myself denying, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, I don't want to lose who I am in this. I want me to be there. And then all of a sudden me comes up.
Yep.
And so as the me comes up, then it's like I drop the cross, I start focusing. Do you see how, mm-hmm. you know, it's mm-hmm. like, so the thing is that if it doesn't begin with the mind on the mm-hmm. things of God, the others will not follow.
Right.
At all. But they are a process of things that we have to take up, and they are very integrally related.
Well, yesterday I was reading a devotional about the cross, and I don't know. I just cried. I was crying for probably a half an hour. It was a very cleansing cry, but it was just like, I am not doing that. I am not picking up my cross and following him like I should. Mm. So,
well, I like what you said. If, you know, if it starts with the mind, mm-hmm. and then all the rest follow. I've noticed so many times. Well, I haven't noticed. It's been pointed out to me that whenever there's a list in the Bible and it mentions several things, they're in order for a reason.
Yep.
And I never thought about that. I mean, most lists that he has or most things that are written in order, there's a reason, and that first one has to come first.
Mm. Yeah, there's
and
the
usually
battle.
it's the one that we don't think about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the battle's always in the mind first.
Yeah.
You're always thinking of something, and you're like, why am I thinking that, you know?
Right. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is my favorite list of showing
love.
That.
Yes, that's, and I was just thinking that, but I didn't want to go there because we don't have much time left.
It ends with self-control.
Yes, exactly. but it starts with love. I mean, you cannot have joy if you don't have love. You can't have patience if you. I mean, it's just.
It all builds.
Love
it's
that.
It's so good. It's so good. Okay, so as we think on this week, and actually this month, and looking at Peter's confession and developing our identity, we also see how identity in Christ builds to community, builds mm-hmm. to purpose, builds to building the kingdom, mm-hmm. and that we can't process that without going through the other. Mm-hmm. I will not be a kingdom builder if I have not solidified who I am mm-hmm. and developed community and, you know, defined the purpose of what God's called me to. And as you go and you're thinking on identity, thinking on the identity of Christ, I just want those that are listening out there to be asking, where am I at? And then I want to give a challenge for you not to have condemnation on yourself if you fall in the category of infant, of a person that's just not getting the identity down. Because we don't ever condemn our little babies. We love on them. Mm-hmm. We take care of them. And it's okay. That's part of the growth. It's okay if you're just now getting to the place where you're recognizing, yeah, I do need to be a part of the body of Christ in a community, at a church, growing, reading the Bible, serving together, connecting. And then as you begin to ask the question, what's my purpose? It's okay if you don't know it yet. If you ask him, he'll be faithful and just to make it clear. He will make sure that it builds the kingdom. And you can do that as a hairstylist, you can do that as a mailman, you can do that as a dentist, you can do it in so many forms. We're so glad you're listening. God bless.